Tonight I want to conclude our series on how to study the Bible. And we've had a number of sermons in this series, and I think this is probably the sixth one. We talked about why is it important to study the Bible. And we talked about the purpose of our Bible study and the process we go through. We talked about various other things as we went through this. Some of the major points: we read the Bible and we search the Scriptures, we study with a teacher, we use repetition, we know the way that we learn and we apply that. We had one whole lesson on learning about Bible principles. We talked about that, Bible principles of interpretation, a lesson on that, and authority, a lesson on that. Well, we want to end tonight and we want to talk about searching the Scriptures. If you'll turn over with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. We want to once again look at the need for searching or examining the Scriptures. And then we're going to talk about ways to do that. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, you'll remember here Paul had been preaching in Thessalonica. Now he comes to Berea. And the Bible says in verse 11, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." Examining, or your Bible may say searching. This means to sift up and down, to make careful and exact research, as in a legal process. And we're going to go through an example of this research, to do this research, just like a research paper. Now, the kids will do a research paper. This is meticulous, it's arduous, it's laborious, it's hard work, and it can be boring, but it's necessary to do this. And so we're going to go through this tonight. We're going to use Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 as our study project tonight. We're going to talk about reading the Scriptures and searching for key words and studying important words, and then studying from others on this topic. To do this, you know, it used to be, years and years ago, to do this, I would go through a number of books, and I would have a lot of books stacked up here, stacks of books, and I would go through how to use all these different books. But now we don't use these books, hardly ever. It's a lot easier just to go to the internet or use some electronic program, and we can do this. And I tell you the wonderful thing about this. You know, when I was growing up, I don't think when I was 10 or 12 or 14 years old, I don't think we had any of those books. Maybe we did. I certainly didn't know how to use them. And today, people have so much information. It used to be when I was growing up, the only person in the congregation who had anything close to the amount of information available to everybody from their computers or from libraries on computers was the preacher. And you'd go to the preacher's office and you would see all of these books everywhere. And now all of these resources are available to everybody in the world through the internet. So tonight, instead of having all kinds of books up here that I suppose maybe one or two of us will be all that have these resources, many of them anyway, I'm going to use something, a resource that we all have available, and that is the internet. So we're going to do this research project together, and I'm going to use my internet site because I created it to study the way that I like to study and to have the resources there in the way that I like to use them. And if you go to my website, just to show you a little bit about how it works, you'll see there's a top nav bar there, and I don't know how far back you can read it, but there's one that says Bible study and one that says ebooks, and this is something new, a slide cast lessons. Slide casting is a new thing that's recently started up. That's where you put audio together with slides, and I created these. It's a little flash show, and so I've got that going on now. The audio sermons, interactive lessons, which are cool. They're self-grading. You go through and you answer the questions. It automatically grades, tells you which ones you got right and wrong. Of course, there's a search feature. There's information on salvation, and there's a topical guide we'll look at tonight. There's articles we'll look at tonight. Information on the Lord's church, and then there's games and quizzes, which are basically on salvation. And of course, there's a nav bar down the side here that gives some detail to that. Well, we want to start tonight. I'm going to go down and click on Bibles. If you can't see, we got some seats up here at the front if you want to look at those. And we're going to do our research project tonight on Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. So that's where we're going to start. And I've got the default translation on my website set up to go the New American Standard. So that's where we start with that. And so it goes automatically to this verse in the New American Standard. And I want you to notice here, and I don't know how far back you can see, but y'all can move to the front some if you like, that you can click here and you can read the chapter if you want to do that. You look at the verse, and then you can click on read the chapter, and you can read through the whole chapter, and you can get the context. And there's a really cool feature here as I have partnered up with StudyLight.org. It's one of my favorite sites for doing much of this research. Is you can click on the link here to hear, and I can't see where it is right now. There it is. To hear the audio. And this is really cool that as you're studying, it's interesting to listen to the audio, especially as you follow along in your Bible. And when it comes to that Old Testament stuff and all of those names, I like to go through the audio and read through that so that I've got a decent idea on how to pronounce all these hard words. And so that audio feature for you Bible teachers especially is really handy if you want to know how to pronounce all those hard words, especially in the Old Testament, then you can do that. Also, as we go down through here, and I'm going to scroll down to verse 38 here, many of you in your Bibles, you will have cross-references. Well, the cross-references are already built into this. Here's verse 38 here, and we've got a cross-reference right there. And to see the cross-reference, then, all you got to do is click on that, and that'll give you the verse that it's talking about there. And then all you have to do is click on the verse and you can automatically go and read that verse. And you can see immediately that your study time is much quicker because, it used to be, I don't know how many of you have prepared lessons and sermons the old way with books. But, I used to sit at a desk and I would have a computer there to type all this stuff out. And I might have 20 books opened up to all sorts of different places. And I would be in a chair and I would swing around here and grab a book and come over here and swing around here and grab a book. It took forever to do research. But now, with a click of a button, you can get right there and you can study it very quick. You can get all your cross-references there and do your basic study. Now, also, one thing that is really, really neat about this is immediately at your fingertips, there's probably 20 or 30 translations. And it used to be in the old days, we would have these books with different translations in them. And you could go through a book and it would have the Greek text there, maybe two Greek texts, and it have maybe four or five different English translations. And it was sort of difficult to get through these books. You may have a stack of Bibles opened up and you're looking at different translations. And I tell you what, this is so great because here we can click this drop-down box and you've got all these different translations, the New American Standard, the Old American Standard, the Old King James, the New King James, the NIV. You've got the versions coded to Strong's, which it used to take us forever to look up in Strong's. You look at the English version and then you got to look at all these versions. Right here, you get a whole translation and it's already coded for you. And there are also some literal translations here. My eyes aren't picking them up right now. There's Green's literal translation here, and there's also Young's literal translation. And those are great to study by because these translations strive to be as literal as possible where you can still understand the text from English. So we've got all of these translations that are available to us. Now, I want to look at some of these translations. Again, we're going to study Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, it's good with a project like this to look at some of the major translations because as we do that, we're going to pick up some small little differences with the translations. That's going to immediately help us to understand there's something here that we need to focus more on because there's a little bit of change in these translations. Now let's start with the New American Standard. Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now let's go to the old 1901 American Standard, and that is a fantastic translation. You don't have this translation in your homes. It's an older translation, but the seeking of these translators was to make an exact translation, just the very best as possible. And so look at this translation. And Peter said unto them, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto..." It doesn't say for the remission, but it says unto. Now this immediately to me says, you know, there's something here that I need to check out as I go through my study, and we'll do some of that checking out as we go. Let's scroll down here. We can look at the Old King James and the New King James. Well, let's look at the Old King James for just a second. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." So there's the word "for" again. So we've seen the translation. We've seen a little bit of difference there. We've seen a difference in the prepositions. Now, let me tell you something. As you get into some very detailed Bible study, you will realize that the prepositions, most often, is where the doctrinal differences lies between denominations and the church. Oftentimes in the prepositions, so pay attention to the prepositions. We've seen a difference in translation with a preposition. One says for, one says unto, and so that immediately says to us, we want to check this out further as we go through our Bible study. Okay, so now let's search. We've got a good idea of the text that we're working with. So now let's search the Bible for some keywords. I'm going to go back to the New American Standard. And I'm going to look up some keywords. The first, now our study really is about baptism. And so we're going to look up some keywords, some different words we could look up with this word of baptize or baptism. So let's look up baptism. So we just look up that word. Now, and this comes up on the screen. Now this would take a great deal of time if we had to go through these books and everything. We could not pick up the book as fast as we've already got our answers, much less go through there, a big book, oh, this thick, and to search through there and find very small print. You almost sometimes have to take a magnifying glass. Well, right here we've got it automatically up on our screen. And we can see this is all on one page. There are 20 verses of the New American Standard that uses this word baptism. Now, we could go through here, and we could look at various verses that talks about this. As we scroll down through here, we're reading through these, and many of these are very interesting. Colossians 3, chapter 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. But we notice here for our study, 1 Peter 3, 21, a passage you know very well, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. So our research project is to understand Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We already know that there's some controversy. Well, there's more than some controversy. There's a lot of controversy over this verse in the Bible. And so we see right now as we're studying baptism that we found a very important verse. This says that baptism now saves you. And so we know from another passage in the Bible that baptism saves us, that baptism results in salvation, and this is super important now when we go on with our study and we try to resolve some of the difficulties in the religious world about this. Well, let's do another word search here. You see, we started with the passage we're dealing with. Now we're looking up keywords in the Bible, and I'm going to look up baptized. Baptized. And we scroll down through here. There are there's 3 pages of results here. And we go down through here. We're reading these. And we see Mark 16, 16. This reminds us of another passage we're very familiar with. That those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. So again, this baptism we're already seeing from other passages. Baptism precedes salvation. Now, immediately, we've not got into any of the research with any denominations yet. Immediately, though, we've been around long enough to know that this is a big question. That many in the world say that you are baptized after being saved. Well, we immediately see the Bible says something else. So as we take notes throughout this study, we're paying attention to this. We scroll on down. We go past Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and we go to the next page of results. And again, in the real study, you would be looking at all these verses. We don't have time to look at all of them and pay attention to them. But here again, we see another very important verse in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. That here Ananias, you take this verse, you study it, and Ananias, you see, Ananias tells Paul to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. So as we're thinking about, we're studying about baptism, we're trying to understand exactly what Acts chapter 2 verse 38, we must realize what other verses say about this topic. That we are baptized before we are saved. That when we are baptized, our sins are washed away. In other words, we have our sins up to the point of being baptized. We go one more, and that's over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. We'll go to the next page of results, and we would be looking at these. And we see something else that's very interesting in this discussion, and I think I probably passed it up. Let me go back to the previous here. There it is, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. That we see that we're baptized into Christ. And so now this also gives us some information. We're going to catalog this. We're baptized into Christ. And that's a very important, that's another very important preposition. A different word in the Greek. And if you're not taking time to really research that out, you would have a very edifying study if you did that. To research that out and find out exactly what is being talked about there. In other words, after one is baptized, then he has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not before being baptized. Now, many in the world say, well, you have a relationship with Jesus after you pray a prayer of faith. No, that's not so. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the only way to have that relationship with Jesus is to obey him and be baptized. And we really don't have time for that discussion today. All right, let's look up one more key word as we begin our searching and examining of the Scriptures. And let's pull up another form of the word. And let's pull up baptizing. Baptizing. And it's going to pull up some interesting words for us. We go down through here. And we particularly stop at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Oh, it was at the top. And we see here the Great Commission, as you've studied before, that Jesus sent them out in the world, and he did so baptizing. He says, and make disciples of all the nations, doing what? Baptizing. So we realize as we study this, we're putting things together, and we're using these other scriptures, we're using the Bible to explain baptism to us. That baptism saves us. That upon being baptized, we have this relationship with Jesus Christ. And also, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, one must be baptized. How do you become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, you must be baptized. After you obey Christ and you're baptized, then you become a disciple. So we put a lot of this together. Now let's go on and do some more work. Now we've worked basically with the Bible at this point. Now let's understand these terms a little bit better. And I'm going to go back to my homepage. And not my homepage, but one of the pages there. And I'm going to go down into the reference section, and I'm going to go to dictionaries and encyclopedias, because we want to understand what this word baptize means. And we can look a number of places. International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, there's different dictionaries there. But I want to go to the bottom, and I want to go to Vine's Dictionary. This is one, maybe everybody here has it. If young folks, you may not have it, but here you can get it online. Now, because of some copyright issues, this site can have it on there, but I can't put it on my site because the copyright was renewed, and if you already didn't have it on your site, you couldn't put it there. Well, I didn't have it there already. So we'll go to a different site, and let's look up this word, baptize. And one of the greatest resources here. You want to know a word, what it means, this is the first place to go. It's Vines. And just read with me here very quickly. See if I can get over here and if I can read it better. I'm sorry the print is so small. Baptism consisting of the process of immersion, submersion, and emergence. And so it's this process. To immerse. What does it mean to immerse? It means to go all the way under and then to come back out again. Now, if we were to take this a little bit further, and some information we'll look at, we'll talk about the some other churches, and they'll do the christening thing and all that. This immediately tells us that those religions who are practicing anything but immersion are doing something other than what the Bible is talking about when it uses the word baptize. Now, we have to be careful. Dictionaries have been written by men, and sometimes are prejudiced by their own religious beliefs and opinions. So we can't just take one dictionary and we say, well, that's what so-and-so dictionary said, and just assume that it's right. No, we have to take a number of sources and truly make sure that that is correct and that is what the meaning of the word is. But for right now, I'm going to move on. Now, let's use another resource here. And I'm going to use an English concordance. And there's three of them here. Knaves is probably the most popular. There's Tory's of Scripture Knowledge and Tory's New Topical Textbook. And so there's three of them there. But I'm going to put in here baptism. Now what this does, this is where individuals have taken scriptures that talk about baptism and they've categorized them in major categories. Maybe some of you have the Knaves Concordance at home, and you would go and you would look it up and it would give you a list of all these scriptures in these topics. Then you would go to your Bible and you would turn to each one of them. It could take a whole day to go through one of these if they had a lot of them there. But I want you to look at this. We're going to look up baptism. And it's going to pull this up. It brings up a search very quickly. And it talks about John's baptism. Then it talks about the Christian baptism. And now these are just verses in the Bible. And again, men have categorized this. But we see here that there's Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We saw that. Mark 16, 16. We saw that. But look here is John chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 22. Now, we hadn't found that. We didn't look at that in our search. And so that's bringing some new information up. And so I'm going to click on this, and this is the great thing. It takes you right there to the verse. John chapter 3, verse 5. Remember, this is where Nicodemus had come to Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And then verse 22, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he was spending time with them and doing what? Baptizing. Now this is in the very same chapter. Realize, and many of you do, I'm sure, that there's great controversy over what John 3 and verse 5 is talking about. So some think the water there is being talked about physical birth when you're born from your mother's womb, and you do some research on that, there's no reason to think that. The water that's being talked about there is not amniotic fluid. It's water, just like water you drink. That's what it's being talked about. And so then you look at verse 22, and what were they doing? They were baptizing. Now, this is good information for us, and we could chase this down. We won't take time to do this tonight, but this would take us on to another area of our study. We would do a search. We would look at the word water, and that would take us to another word of wash or washing, and we would find out things like this. Ephesians 5:26, that we have the washing of water by the word. Those who obey the word of God, they are washed by water, and that's being baptism. Acts chapter 22, verse 16, that when we're baptized, our sins are what? They are washed away. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, God saves us with the washing of regeneration and renewing the Holy Spirit. Now that ties in perfectly to John chapter 3, verse 5, that we're born of water and spirit. We're washed of water and also born of the Spirit. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the passage we are studying, remember that when we repent and we are baptized for the remission of our sins, that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is this gift of the Holy Spirit? Well, just looking at these verses right here, you would think that it is this washing of regeneration, becoming a new creation, born of the Spirit. You would think that would be it. Now, we could go on and study that further, but right now, we will not. Let's move on into a different area here. Sometimes we need to get a little bit more technical, and this helps us out. If you can't do this, if your study has not progressed enough to do this, that's perfectly fine. But sometimes we need to really get technical, especially to refute false doctrine. Oftentimes, false doctrine, the scriptures are twisted. The individuals do this to their own destruction, 2 Peter 3:16, and we must drill down deep into the Word of God to unravel what they have twisted so that we can teach the truth and contradict, refute from the scripture what they're saying. Well, let's go. We're going to go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. So this time I'm going to drill down deeper, and I don't know if you can see it from where you're sitting, but right here it says Greek. So this is going to allow us to click, and we see the Greek text there, and that you can click on different Greek texts here. And if you study the Bible quite a bit, if you drill down to learn these things, whether you be a longtime Bible teacher or an elder or a preacher, whatever it may be, you will eventually in your study get to the Greek text. And I tell you what, it's so difficult using books, and you've got different Greek texts, and you've got those books, you've got Greek concordances and things like that, and right here it's at your fingertips, and you can just click on that. Now, there is a little bug here with this resource. And notice here it says, name of Jesus Christ, it says four. Now, the word four is not underlined, so there's not a link there. Now, we could come down here and we could click on it in the Greek text if we knew which word it was, but we could just change translations. And I'm going to do that so I can show you this. I'm changing to the King James Version that's coded to Strong's. And we come down here, and the word four is underlined. And we click on that, and it takes us to the Greek word that is here. And this Greek word, phonetic spelling I-C-E, you'll hear it pronounced ice or sometimes ace. Now, what is really cool here, there's a little microphone or a little speaker thing right there. You can click on that and hear the Greek word pronounced, which is really cool. If you're someone like me and you got to rely on people teaching you how to pronounce these things, it's really cool. You can click on that and you can see how this is pronounced. And so now you have a definition here. Now, warning, flashing red, warning. Men write these. This is not the Word of God. You can see right away that this one is biased. It's very easy to tell. It says for, as used in Acts 2:38, for the forgiveness, could have two meanings. What do you mean, could have two meanings? It means only one thing in a passage. God is not the author of confusion. Immediately this tells us these guys are biased. They're wanting to be disingenuous, and they're wanting to tell us something else rather than just the truth. And so you immediately know that's a bad resource right there. Okay, but we see here something very important. Now, you Bible students, you've used Strong's before. There's a Strong number 1519. 1519, there it is. Now, what we can do is something that's really, really neat. It would take a great deal of time if we didn't have this little resource that we could click on. I'm on my site again, going down to references. I'm going to Greek resources. I'm going to scroll down here. I'm going to put the Strong's number in here. I don't know how many of you have used a Greek concordance. It's a Strong's concordance, but it's in Greek. Now, the problem is with Strong's will give you all the English words. Well, there might be 10 different Greek words all translated this one English word. And so you had to go and you had to pull all this out. Well, which Greek words are we talking about here? You could go to a Greek resource, and you could find out, and when you're getting to really deep study, these things are fantastic. Now we can go here, put in this, put in this, uh, Put in this 15:19. Now, here is a list of the books of the New Testament. And you've got the King James, and you've got the New American Standard. Now, I told you already that the New American Standard had a little glitch on this resource. These things are put together for men, just like in books. There's typos, there's glitches. We already know there's a glitch on the New American Standard right there. So let's work with the King James. Now, something that's really super interesting. Now, by the way, the word we're talking about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, for the forgiveness of sins or the remission of sins, translated both ways, appears around 1,600 times in the Bible. I mean, it appears a lot. And so we can go through all those, we can examine each one, or we can go just to the book of Acts. And we can see, well, how is Luke using this word in the book of Acts? So we can go down through here and we can look at all these words. And we see here is Acts chapter 3 and verse 28. And this is the verse that we're studying. And for the remission of sins. Okay. So we're wanting to know, what does it really mean in the book of Acts? For the remission of sins. What is this talking about? Some people say, well, it's because your sins have already been forgiven. Well, that's why you're baptized. Because they've already been forgiven. Well, that doesn't make any sense. With all the other verses we've seen in the Bible, that baptism now saves us, that when we're baptized, our sins are washed away, that when we're baptized, we enter into Christ, we have this relationship with Christ upon our baptism. So that doesn't make any sense anyway. So what does this really mean in this verse? Well, we could go down to a number of different examples, but I want to go down to one, and that is Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we examine how Luke is using this. And I'll click on Acts 3:19 so we can pull that verse up right there. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins, the word that your sins may be blotted out. Now let me ask you, the word that is the exact same word that's translated for there is a, that your sins may be, well, what do you have to do before your sins are blotted? What do you got to do? You got to repent and you got to be converted before your sins may be blotted out. The New American Standard uses the word so. Repent and be converted so your sins can be blotted out. So we see here Luke is using the word we're talking about, ice or ace, however you want to pronounce it. Luke is talking about what must be done prior to, Acts 2:38, forgiveness or remission of sins. What must you do before your sins are forgiven? That's what Luke is talking about. So we go back up, we go back to our Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And I'm going to go back up to the translation we've been using, New American Standard, and I'm going to pull that up. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the word for, that's the word we're talking about. Translated that in John 3:19 or so in the New American Standard. For the remission of sins. In other words, what Luke is saying is for your sins to be forgiven, you've got to do these two things. You have to repent and you have to be baptized. This is in perfect harmony now with all the other scriptures. All the other scriptures that we studied. Now, we've got a very good understanding of what the Bible says. But let's go on just a little bit. Let's challenge ourselves just a little bit. We're going to do a couple of things in just a few minutes we have left. We're going to look at the comments of men, everyday people, of myself or of anyone else, perhaps who's written, of commentators, Bible teachers, things like that. And I want to just show you a few things. I want to show you a few things on my website. This is the website I use to study from. I use it. I catalog information that I've collected over the years. The first thing I'm going to do is go to the articles. Now, the articles in the bulletin, they end up here, and there's other ones that I put in there over the years. We can go to the baptism section. What is baptism? Is baptism essential to be saved? That's really what we're talking about. And here is my research paper on this. And you see we've got a little introduction here. We've got an explanation as to what baptism is. And then there is a history of baptism. And that will help us to understand, especially in our meeting, we looked at vines. This will help us to understand what people have done throughout history in regards to baptism, and many in their religions have changed it. We go on down through here, and then we find a section on the Baptist churches and what they are teaching. We've got quotes from Hiscock, the Hiscock Guide of Baptist Churches, which very plainly states what they teach. There is no doubt about it that baptism has nothing to do with salvation. And they go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and they say, well, for the remission of sins means because the remission of sins. Now, we've seen very plainly, number one, that's not what Luke said, that's not what Luke meant, and that's not what the rest of the Bible says. But here we've got information that will help us in this study as we talk with others. This in Christ, we talked about this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, that we're baptized into Christ. Well, here is a study on the blessings we have, excuse me, in Christ, eternal life, love of God, sanctified, redemption, alive to God, hope, triumph, etc., etc., etc. Now we could go off on a study with that and talk about baptism into Christ and see what the Bible says in regards to that. We can look also at the accounts of conversion in the book of Acts, and there's 9 of them. And it's interesting to me as you look through here, as we would be, if we were actually doing this study, and it would take some time to do a lot longer than we have tonight, that we would look through all of these conversions. And we see of every example of conversion in the Bible, one thing every time they were baptized. Every time. And we ask ourselves, well, why is it? Of every example of conversion, we see that they were baptized. Well, because when one is baptized is the exact point that one is converted and becomes a Christian. That's the importance of that. We go down a little bit further, and we could study such things as infant baptism. But I want to go to another resource. And I want to go to the topical guide. Oh, I could have gone from right there, but that's fine. I'll go right there. Topical scripture guide. I'm going to go down to baptism. We see as we're in here, there's two areas. One is baptism, and one is baptism for, that's the word for, and we go down through here. We look at various verses we've already talked about. And notice a really cool feature that has recently been available to the internet world is where you can just put your little cursor on the passage and the verse pops up for you. So you're studying down through here and you want to see what Mark 16:6, just put your cursor there. John 3:5, put your cursor there. And there you see the verse. You can read it right there. And so some of the internet sites have that. You're seeing more and more have that. The hephillips.org website has that there. And it's very handy. It's very quick. It makes our study very fast. Well, I want to go back and look also. We have information here. Baptism for. Now you've gone through your study already and you've come to your own conclusions. Now you're on a website, you're looking at information that a man has put together, and you see various information here, you see false claims, you read about this. And I want to show you some really, the next time you study this, here is some really, really cool information. I put here for this, I put here different Bible translations of Acts 2:38, for the forgiveness of sins, unto the remission of sins, for the remission of sins, so that your sins may be forgiven, to remission of sins. Got the translations there. It's so plain, it's so clear to understand. But here is something that's really cool. Here are the translations by commentators. Here's one from the Church of England. Here's a Presbyterian. Here is a Baptist. Here is a Methodist. And these individuals will be old commentators that reflect their view when the religion was much older than it is today. And you can see that in these religions today that are teaching error, that their prominent commentators were teaching the truth on the subject many years ago. Let's just look at a few. Here's the one, the Church of England, for the putting away, for the putting away of your sins. What do you have to do? You have to repent, you have to be baptized. Presbyterian, for, to or toward, that's what it means. Baptist, translation, his comments on the translation of Acts 2:38, unto, for, in order to, here is a Baptist, in order to have the forgiveness of your sins, what must you do? You see, it's very plain. Very, very interesting study. The next time you do that, some very, very good information. Well, I want to move on, and I know my time is going by here, but I want to just show you a couple of more things. Of course, there's the audio lessons, and they go down to baptism. And there's the audio lesson I did here at this congregation, baptism for the forgiveness of sins. There's the MP3. There's the lesson outline, the exact outline I used to preach the sermon from. You can get that. It's got all the scriptures, got all the notes. You can use that. In addition, there's the PowerPoint there also. Also, we've got here in the ebooks section, which I tell you what, I use this a lot. Very good brethren who have put together some Bible class material on these things. We click on salvation, and we see there's a two-page overview. Then there's a worksheet. Now, this worksheet, you may remember some time ago, we've had three series on evangelism, and one of the lessons, a lesson you can share with others. And this is the lesson right here with that. Various ebooks. Now I want to go to another website here very quickly. And the website is lovemyjesus.com. Now this is my website, by the way. One of mine, it takes me no time to do this. But I want to show you a couple of things. What this website does, it only searches the website by brethren. A lot of times I'll be doing some research on various topics, and I want to know, well, what do just brethren teach? Just Christians, what do they teach? And so I created a search engine to do this, and I just want to show you a couple of things very quickly. We'll just do baptism. And we see the results pop up. And there's lots of results on this, on baptism. You can go here, you can study from what other brethren have said. You can look up for the forgiveness or for the remission, and you can study that. I want to show you one more thing very quickly, and then I'll let you go. I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to go back to the Bible. We'll go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And notice right here, I've got clicked include resources. So we're going to include the resources with this search. And now I've got Acts chapter 2, verse 38 up here. And I've got all of these resources, all of these different commentaries. And some of them are the very good commentaries that brethren have used for a long time, whether it be Adam Clark or it be Barnes or it be Matthew Henry or it be Robinson's or People's New Testament. And then there's different things here with different words. And so that is available. All you have to do, boy, I tell you what, this is so nice. All you got to do here to get Robertson's comments right there, all you got to do is make one click. You don't have to go through a book. You don't have to turn to a book. It's automatically right there it is, and you can study it. So it makes it so very easy. Okay, now, the purpose of all of this wasn't to teach you how to use the website. The purpose of all of this was to show you what is available, to research, to search. How do you do this? How do you examine the scriptures? How do you sift them up and down like in a legal process, just like a research paper? You've got to get in there. You've got to look at the topic throughout the whole Bible. You've got to tear apart the verse. And the purpose tonight was to show you that that is very possible, that everyone with a computer and internet connection or that can drive to a library has all of this information at their fingertips. That it's easier than it's ever been. That it's quicker than it's ever been. Now, brethren, it is our responsibility as Christians, every Christian here, your responsibility is to search and examine. Search and examine. Whether you use the internet, whether you use my website, whether you use books, whether you use just the Bible and you read it 1,000 times over, taking detail, however you do it, I want us to understand each one of us are obligated. no matter what your age is. You've got your Bible class material. You've got questions that are asked, sometimes to define words. Are you looking up those words? Are you doing the research? Or are we just lazily sitting by doing nothing? It is so easy to do. God has blessed us with the ease and the information that brethren just one generation ago did not have. Are we shirking our responsibility and neglecting the blessing of God? That's my question to you tonight. What are you doing in your personal study? What are you doing to examine and to search the Scriptures? Let none of us shirk our responsibilities and neglect the blessings of God. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. As I close these out, and let me just open this back up here, and I think I can just do this, and it'll be a lot quicker. I don't want to leave the internet stuff up there. There we go. All right, if you'd like to get your songbook out. That concludes our series on how do we study the Bible. I hope it's been profitable for you. I hope you've learned something throughout the study. I hope you've been encouraged, stimulated, and questioned yourself in regards to your own Bible study. Was it 603, Don? 603, burdens are lifted at Calvary. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can become one. Just as Ethan did this morning, you can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ by rendering obedience, believing in God, believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, making the good confession that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized. If you are a Christian tonight and you strayed from the truth, you too can come back to the fold. How do you do that? Well, you know how you do that. You repent of your sins. You confess them to God. You pray for forgiveness. And we can help you to do that tonight. Whatever your need may be, will you not let us help you if you'll come to the front as we stand and sing?